thunder, 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 thunder. Oh!
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
Thunder nerds,
thunder nerds,
thunder nerds.
Get those nerds!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hinton.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
And do tech good.
Ah, do tech, yeah. Brian, where are we at? What are we doing? Oh my goodness.
I have no idea. Where are we?
We are in Florida, in the United States of America, in Fort Lauderdale for the UX Dev Summit. Oh, we didn't say it in unison.
That was close.
Duty on us. We'll get it next time. Yeah, we're so excited. We are here all day. The conference is a five-day conference with lots of amazing workshops. It is advantageous for you to be here and experience this and really immerse yourself. Yeah,
you can still get tickets and come. Today is... all speakers, conferences, talks, things like that. And then the rest of the days are workshops.
Yeah.
That you can learn all sorts of amazing things.
Which we are going to be talking with one of the amazing speakers today. We have Jacqueline Stetson Pastor.
First time. Jeez, wow.
Tip of the hat to me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today. So you are going to be talking today like around 4 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A.M.? Wow.
Well, it's going all night. 4 a.m. tonight. It's a long conference. This is very serious.
We're serious down here in Florida.
4 p.m.
Oh, my God. Jacqueline, can we talk a little bit about you and provide some context on you for our audience?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about you. Jacqueline has blue eyes and blonde hair. Good night, everybody.
Who are you? Where are you from? Who do you work for? Like, let's give us a little background.
Yeah. So, I'm Jacqueline. I'm originally from Miami. I'm one of the few that was born and raised down here.
Wow.
I went away for many years, but I came back in 2010.
Come back.
Yeah. It's Miami. How I got involved in UX.
Yeah.
So in the 90s, I was doing commercials and music videos, print campaigns, things like that. My undergrad was in film and creative writing. So down here in Miami, there's a season and an off season. So during season, you work like crazy. Off season, there's hurricanes and stuff. So you go somewhere else because you can't shoot a movie down here. So I ended up in Boston in 1999. I started temping at a venture capital company as a secretary that had an incubator focused on Harvard and MIT startups.
Oh,
and
cool.
So they were like, hey, you know, you have management experience doing these like productions. Why don't you be a project manager for one of our internet startups? And I was like, sure, what's the internet? Because I didn't know. I'm not a tech person.
Yeah.
But I got to sit down next to really, really, really smart people. And I learned about software and programming and graphic design and project management and that kind of stuff. And IBM had their Lotus Notes usability lab right next door to us. So I got to be a usability participant for some of their tasks. Testing stuff is kind of cool. And I ended up going back to grad school focusing on usability testing. And so that was how I got into UX. And I've sort of had this magical career ever since. I've been able to work at amazing companies.
It's quite a path from media to UX. And do you find any aspects of your career experiences beforehand translate well into UX?
Or? Absolutely, because I did a lot of documentaries and film, and that's user research and ethnography.
Oh, yeah.
So it really is, you just sit there and you watch someone, and you think, okay, you're doing this, but what are you really doing? And you really kind of figure it out. And so that was really my
It's like that's what you really wanted to do, just to know it yet.
Exactly.
That's so cool. And so how did you kind of transition from that into more of a UX role?
So I, in grad school, because I was a career changer, I did it in 1 year. I felt like I hadn't learned enough yet. So I specifically went after every kind of project and every street across different project roles, different technology platforms I had never done before. So I was at Microsoft in Seattle as an ethnographer for Portal. I went to Fidelity Investment as an IA for enterprise applications. I was at the Federal Reserve Bank.
Drop names.
Yeah, I have many feathers in my cap.
Nice.
So I was really able, I have really, really great projects that I've been able to work on over the years. So
see, what you should do is get like a jacket and just put like patches all over it. Whenever you talk, you're like, this is who I've worked for.
So I do that. I do that from whenever I talk.
Oh, I put
like the logos.
Yeah.
I don't even say anything about myself. I'm just like, these are some of my clients.
And then you walk off the stage.
Yeah. Like, someone else told me to do that. I'm like, that's brilliant.
Where were you when you first felt like, I'm a UX designer?
Yeah.
Where were you? What were you doing?
Right now.
Exactly.
What was the moment?
Yeah.
It was at Fidelity.
Okay.
Investments in Boston. Because there was like this amazing UX team up there. And there was 150 of us. And it was huge. And we had a usability lab with user researchers. We had information architects. We had prototypers. We had visual designers. We had like everyone had specific roles. And like I was a UX person. I could like pull out all my 50-cent words and be like, we need to do it because of blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And they listened to me.
Yeah.
And so like that was really. That
synergy.
Was really...
That's a good idea. Leverage it. Mm.
Mm-hmm. No, my favorite is Chromeostereopsis.
Ooh, explain for the audience, because I know that.
So that's like how your eyeballs see colors. It's like seeing the color blue and the color red. It's like you don't use red font on a blue background or vice versa, because it just bungles your eyeballs. And so that's the fancy word of saying it'll mess up your eyeballs.
Wow. I bet people looked at you and said, okay. Yeah, I'm too afraid to disagree with you because I don't know what that means, and I don't want you to know that I don't know what that means.
Yes.
I want you to know, and I know. So, yes. What she said, yes. Make it happen, Bob.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So let's talk about what you are going to be speaking about at 4 a.m. for some reason today, or 4 p.m. I get those confused. It's a thing of mine. The state of UX in Florida, in South Florida specifically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is.
How is it?
It's growing like crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
great. Really That's good to hear. It has expanded like tremendously. Like you go on LinkedIn or Indeed and you just look at jobs that are available right now and a ton of jobs. Mm. So it really has expanded so much. Even like the different education.
Well, we are
programs.
At a summit too. So.
Exactly. This is the third year of the summit. It just keeps getting better and more awesome. So it really is growing a lot. And so I think this is kind of an opportunity for us to kind of pause and say, so how are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's say, how are we doing?
What is your idea? Yeah. How do you feel like we are doing in South Florida? Because if you take a look back,
What's our grade?
Yeah, what's our grade? If you take a look back like 5 years ago, was not so good. So where are we at now? What's our grade? A, B, B minus?
I think we're at like a B.
B, okay.
We're like we're not quite.
A low B?
A low B. I don't want to say B minus because that's negative.
But we got a B.
We got a B. We're improving.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So what does that mean?
It means that the maturity of organizations is growing. So that we're having actual UX teams at companies instead of just a lone UX person that was hired as, a developer or a BA who happens to do UX too and bringing that into UX. So they're actually hiring UX people.
Yeah.
You're also starting to see like actual research jobs instead of just a designer role. Mm-hmm. So that means you're figuring out the different functional roles within user experience and so that you're able to design and test and do all your different kinds of research.
Right, because a lot of times these bigger companies or some of these more small to medium-sized companies within the area might just think of a designer as that visual guy that does Photoshop over by the water cooler. They don't think about, well, actually, that's a strategy guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's so interesting how that's coming around. So what do you think is the catalyst for that change?
So what I think UX is just, as an industry in a whole, we're doing a much better job of marketing ourselves. Yeah. So... I mean, the fact that we're called UX now and that people know what that word means, even though it's a weird word to say what we do, is I think the fact that we're just marketing ourselves and getting ourselves more and more involved into the business part of a company and not just coming in at the end.
Yeah. So how do you think people are discovering, and when I say people, these entities, how are they discovering the value of having the considering the customer journey, considering these people – the user experience designers to provide the value within the actual business goals? Like, how are they learning about that? And how do we talk them about that?
She's talking about it.
And there's more people talking about it. So it's not just one lone nerd in the corner.
Her.
But I mean we're talking about it right now, but we're talking about it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So how do we talk about it to the C levels? How do we talk about it to not just the influencers but the decision makers?
Well, I think question. I don't have the answer.
Just keep sending email links to them.
But I mean, it's starting to be more and more like when you look at what their company's like core values are, like focusing on the customer is starting to become part of what their core values are.
Customer centric. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's getting more trendy.
Yeah. I've seen that term way more lately. I think they actually it's like abbreviated CX actually or C.
CX. Yeah. CX, customer experience.
Yeah. Customer experience. Yeah. So again, like we're. We haven't figured out, we haven't like normalized around a term for what we want to call ourselves yet. We're still in flux, you know? But I think it's getting there.
Yeah, it definitely is getting there. So what's our future path in South Florida?
Well, we're going to take over the world.
Take over the world. Okay, so we're just going to make the rest of the world South Florida?
No.
Welcome to South Florida, New Jersey.
That would be great.
Although New Jersey is really weird.
Although very hot. I don't really want that everywhere.
No, we're bringing the weather there, too. Sorry, Jersey.
She's like, you are insane. We go up there to cool off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We won't do that, I promise.
So what I want to know actually is how do you define a UX designer yourself? I mean, you see so many terms out there. What is your definition of what a UX designer is? Like, yeah.
So I have a very broad definition because I think everyone defines things differently. I think it's like you care about users.
Yeah.
You are a user advocate.
I like that.
So it's my job to be a user advocate, whether that's me doing research or me being design or a product owner or a product manager. That is me being an advocate for the end customer or the other stakeholders that also have to deal with products.
To jump on that same token, I want to ask you about now, because you are the CEO and founder of UX Gopher.
Yes.
So that is also not only, you know, your business, but you're definitely providing that service. Mm-hmm. It advocates the need for user experience and things of that nature. Yeah. Do you mind talking a little bit about your company?
Absolutely. So UX Gopher, it's a startup that I created to help people run usability tests. So as someone who's been doing user research for a long time, to run a proper usability test, a moderated usability test, where you're early on in the life cycle, and we're talking about, like, let's just sketch something together. I have a prototype, or, you know, let's just figure stuff out so I can get some feedback. It's not the unmoderated kind of usability testing or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is like, I need information from my users. How do I run that in a way that I can make it quicker, faster, easier? I get actionable data at the end. And so this was a tool that I built to help people like me run these tests faster. So at the end of running a day of usability test, I can say, okay, well, tasks 2, 3, and 4 have these 4 kinds of problems. And so I can immediately turn that into an action item, put it into Jira, you know, have something that I can do with it immediately. I don't have to wait 2 weeks to write a report about it.
Excellent, okay. Yeah. So who are you marketing that to? Is that for?
Everybody needs it.
So I heard it here. Everybody needs UX Gopher. Everyone.
So I mean, are you going for small to medium size? Or are you going for enterprise? Like
both.
Both.
So,
okay.
There's 3 choices.
Yeah. Both all of the above. Work.
Okay.
Everybody needs UX Gopher. Also, it's for enterprise applications or enterprise organizations where you have a lot of different user researchers on a team. Yeah. Everybody writes a report a little different.
Sure.
So it helps with that standardization. Right, to make sure that as a client, I can have you run a test for me and applications are still met. So it helps with the enterprise
standardization. Yeah.
Standardization. Right. And then on the startup side of the world, it's the founder who's running their own usability test and has never run a usability test before and I have no idea what I'm doing. And so there's videos and educational tools built into the platform to make sure that you're doing it right so that you're not biasing your participants as you're running through the sessions. So So it's for both.
And what about and what about when you get that actionable tasks? How does one know what to do with that?
Well, my tool can't really help you out too much on that. You have to know your own product.
Sure.
So
okay.
You have to know it's on you and your own expertise of your product to say, okay, well, this is a low hanging fruit. I can change a word on a button so that I can match the expectations of the user, rather than change a whole bunch of functionality.
Yeah.
So it's kind of on you to be the expert in your own domain.
Sure.
Do the usability testing part.
Helping you understand what the problem is, then you have to take that problem and try and work through a solution.
Exactly.
And then when you again use the tools again, be like, hey, did this solution work?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Let me measure that. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me go back 6 months and take a look and see.
Yeah.
Go through the metrics. That's so valuable to be able to take that, digest it, make some changes, go back, make some changes again. Yeah. That's such a cool. So when did you start the business?
I started this in 2014. It's an idea that I had for a long time. I was like, somebody make this freaking thing to help me. And then nobody
you were like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, nobody. I got laid off from a company, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it myself.
Nice.
No
good
one's
for you.
Doing it.
Yeah.
So I did it. I built out one version of the platform. It failed miserably because it was way too complicated. And so went back to the drawing board, kind of streamlined it a lot, and it's in now. We're doing live testing on it. Pretty good.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So
congratulations.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's a labor of love for my UX community.
Yeah. And I'm sure everybody super appreciates it.
So you're from Miami, but you moved away to, you said, New York?
Boston,
that's
Seattle.
Right. Why were you moving around for work?
For work.
And what brought you back here?
Family.
Family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're from here, so all family's here.
Yeah.
Family's kind of important.
It is. It's super important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Family, marriage, kids, that whole thing.
Oh, how many kids you got?
One. 5-year-old. He's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. I have a 3-year-old.
Oh, boy, girl.
Boy, Luther.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, he's adorable. I love him.
Do you perform user testing on your child? Do you use him to...
Which choice?
I actually have.
Yeah.
Because I do some kid stuff too.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's
you
an
know.
Interesting way to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Awesome.
So, tell us about Miami. Do you go to the Art Basel every year, or
you've never been?
What? You're right here.
Oh my god.
I used to work in Basel,
ashamed?
Switzerland. Like for a company, and I was always like, when I move back to Miami, I'll do it. And I never did it. It's just too crowded. It's too crazy. I can't handle it.
Oh, but you could go earlier and like walk around.
Yeah.
I should.
You got to pencil that in.
Yeah.
You got to have your Google Assistant make the call.
Exactly.
Schedule for it.
Yes.
That stuff's creepy.
I know. I like it. The creeper technology gets, the better. I like it.
No, there's good animal stuff to do down here.
Animal stuff.
Explain yourself.
So you can feed all sorts of animals. So you can feed giraffes.
They're on the street. For our people that are in New York, other places,
in Florida,
there are giraffes walking the street. You could go up and feed them a taco. It's amazing. They're super nice. Right,
so is it a zoo?
There's a zoo. Giraffes. You can feed rhinos. My son, when he was 2 years old, he's fed a rhinoceros.
Wow.
You could feed the Galapagos tortoises. You can feed, there's something else you can feed there. At
I
another
feel like
place,
you took
they
someone's
have lemurs.
Job. Like someone's job was to feed these, and now they're just making all the visitors feed.
Look, she's just following the drone, feeding all the animals.
I love to feed animals. They have lemurs. They have sloths at this other place.
Oh.
They move too quick for me.
Llamas and things like that. And then you can feed alligators. They like marshmallows.
Ooh.
You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah,
they might eat you, so don't do that.
Do they like them roasted over fire first? Maybe with a s'more?
Ooh.
Maybe. No, it's just like you flip them in
a
there.
Finger.
You know, the airboat. Like usually the airboat driver will.
Have you done that?
Back. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That is so weird. They like marshmallows. Well, I mean, it makes sense because they taste like
chicken.
The mallow. The original marshmallow was actually good for you because it was made from called the mallow plant, which grew in marshes, and they manufactured
marshmallow.
Yeah, they manufactured from that, and it had some, nutritional value food stuff. If you listen to that podcast, they talk about it, Google it. And then it got changed for mass manufacturing into basically to replicate the flavor, and it's basically just sugar now, but before it wasn't.
Oh,
so that's why alligators like it, because it that maybe it's in the marshes and they eat them.
That's
my theory.
I'm gonna say that's fact.
Yes.
Check it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're wrapping up. Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our audience? Anything about your talk? Any kind of
Or Miami?
Or any kind of words of wisdom at the end that you'd like to share about South Florida and the state of user experience?
Come down here again next year. Come to the conference next year.
Mm-hmm.
And
year four.
She's gonna be talking.
I will. I talk.
And how can people find out about you? What's your Twitter handle?
See, I'm not a good technology person.
So you're not on Twitter?
What do you mean I'm not a technology person?
I have the Twitter.
It was
the Facebook.
Okay. What's your website?
It's uxgopher.com with an F. It's actually spelled both ways. Did you know that a gopher, speaking of animals, it's a gopher is spelled with a PH, but a gopher, like, go get me a cup of coffee, like, go for a coffee, go for this, like, an assistant, like, a UX gopher assistant is an F. I own both, but it's UX gopher.
Yeah,
nice. Have you tried approaching Bill Murray to do a little thing on your...
Should.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, cash check for the people that no idea what I'm talking about, because that movie is 40 years old.
Is it really?
Probably.
The Matrix is 20 years old.
No, it's
really?
Shut your
mouth. I always think about stuff like that, like that happened in the 90s. I'm like, no, that's 10 years ago. But,
yeah.
Oh, time. Major time.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Talking with
really
you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And thank you guys, and stay tuned. We got a lot more all day.
Tune one.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Thunder Nerds. Please follow us on Twitter at ThunderNerdsHo, on Facebook at facebook.com/ThunderNerds. Go to thundernerds.io for our website and find links to our YouTube channel and Instagram from there. Please send us any ideas or comments to connect@thundernerds.io. And if you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/ThunderNerds, or send us an email if you'd like to sponsor the show. Lastly, please remember to go to iTunes to give us a like or review. We honestly and sincerely appreciate it.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?